السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. We begin as always by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, yesterday we discussed the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam in Iraq, like we mentioned, in Babel, the lands of Babylon. And towards the end of yesterday's discussion, we spoke about the argument that took place. We spoke about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the idols, about the qawm, his nation, plotting to burn him alive, and the fact that they prepared a huge bonfire, a huge fire. We mentioned yesterday that even birds could not fly on top of the fire, except that they would fall to the ground, charred black, burnt black. So the people, they launched a catapult and fired Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam right into the midst of the blazing flames. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded the flames, the burning fire, to be a place of coolness and safety. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. And then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he remained safe and sound, and he came out as well, safe and sound. We mentioned all of this. And towards the end of yesterday's discussion, we spoke about the argument that took place between the king of those lands, his name was Namrud, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He put forward an argument. He said that I can give life and death just as your God, just as Allah can give life and death. He called for two prisoners. He released one prisoner, and that was his version of giving life. And he had the other prisoner executed. And he said, look, I gave life to that individual, and I gave death to this individual by executing him. And then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he cornered him with some amazing logic and reasoning. He told him, my Lord Allah, He makes the sun rise from the east. If you are so powerful, make it rise from the west, opposing the north. To which he, at the end of the day, was utterly defeated. He had no reply whatsoever to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The animosity of the people started to grow as well as in regard to the king. He too started to plot and plan against Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to leave the lands of Iraq. To leave the lands of Iraq. And like we said yesterday, the only two individuals who believed in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam were his wife Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam and his nephew Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. These were the only two individuals who believed in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he leaves Iraq, and now he's headed towards Palestine, Palestine. He was headed towards Palestine. So he was making hijrah, he was migrating from Iraq, from the lands of Iraq, towards Palestine, as in accordance with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal talks about this, where he states, فَآمَنَ لَهُ لُوطٌ وَقَالَ إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. So Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, he believed in him. فَآمَنَ لَهُ لُوط. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam believed in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. وَقَالَ, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam now says, إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. I will migrate for the sake of my Lord. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Verily, he is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also goes on to say, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ, we rescued him, we saved Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, وَلُوطًا, and Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. To the land, we saved them both, and we instructed them to go to the land which we have blessed for the alameen, in the sense for mankind and jinkind. We have blessed the land of Palestine. And they're headed towards Palestine. On the way to Palestine,
Some historians mention that this incident took place on the way to Palestine. They had to cross Egypt, and this incident took place then. And others state that it was after they had gone and settled down in Palestine. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his wife Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam, they were traveling and they crossed Egypt, and this incident takes place. Now, Egypt at that time was ruled by a tyrant, an oppressor, another Fir'aun perhaps. So Egypt at that time was ruled by this oppressor who had a very unusual fetish. He had commanded his soldiers, his forces, that if anybody, if any caravan were to pass by Egypt or had to cross the lands of Egypt, the caravan had to be checked. In other words, the travelers had to be checked. And if there were women, and as long as these women were the wives of those men who were within that caravan or the travelers, then he had instructed the soldiers to bring the women to him. He had this fetish where he used to abuse other people's wives. He used to abuse the wives of other men. This was where he, this was something that he took a lot of pleasure in. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was informed about this king, and they had to travel through Egypt. There was no other option. And whilst they were crossing Egypt, the soldiers, the forces, they stopped them and they started to check them. And at that point, they asked Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who is this lady? I mean, what is her relationship with you? Now, the instructions of the king were very specific. They were only to be brought if they were that individual's wives. I mean, if they were related in any other way, he was not interested. I mean, if they were mothers or sisters, then he wasn't interested. But if a lady was someone's wife, only then he would be interested in that particular lady. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, knowing about this tyrant of a king, he replied, "She is my sister." And he was intending that she was his sister in Islam and not a blood sister, because after all, she was his wife. So he intended that she is my sister in Islam. And he replied to the forces. But now the thing was that Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam was a very, very beautiful lady. She was very beautiful. So the minute the soldiers saw her, they felt that, you know, our king has to see this woman. So they said, it doesn't matter, even if she be your sister, we have to take her to the king. If the king releases her, it's a different story, but we have to take her to the king. And by force, they kidnap her and they take her to the king. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was in anguish, was in so much of grief. Just imagine, your wife plucked away from you and now is being taken captive. Is taken captive to a king who is known to be a tyrant. Allahu Akbar. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He raises his hands in dua. Now this is the quality of a true believer, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Whenever you are in a difficulty, whenever you are in a predicament, it is upon you to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is upon you to turn to Allah azza wa jal. Because we learn so many lessons from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And the greatest lesson of them all is tawakkul. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. We learned this very well even yesterday. When he was about to be thrown into the blazing flames, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down and he offers help. Allahu Akbar. Archangel Jibreel, he says, "What do you want done, Ya Khalil Allah? What do you want done, O friend of Allah?" To which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam very calmly replies, "From you I need nothing. I wait for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And then Allah azza wa jal directly commanded the fire to be a place of coolness and safety for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So even in this particular situation, his wife is being plucked away from him, taken captive, and is being taken to the king who is known to be a tyrant. He, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prays unto Allah azza wa jal. Now, Sarah, alayhi salatu wasalam, she's taken to the king. And no sooner she was presented in front of the king, and he was a pervert, he was a corrupt individual, this particular king. The minute he saw the exquisite beauty of Sarah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he could not contain himself, he could not control himself, he outstretched his hand to touch her in a bad manner. The minute he tried to do that, She, Sarah, alayha salatu wasalam, she too, after all, being the wife of the friend of Allah, Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, she turns to Allah Azza wa Jal. She immediately raises her hands in dua. No sooner she raised her hands in dua, the king's hand, you know, became paralyzed and fell to his side. The king's hand became paralyzed. He lost, you know, control of his arm and it fell to his side. And he was surprised. What's happening? He was in so much of fear. He cries out, "Oh, please help me. Pray unto your God and release me from this torture that I am going through." Because he was in excruciating pain as well. So he said, "Please release me from the torture that I am going through. I will not harm you. Just release me." She then prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this king's hand goes back to normal. But no sooner that happened, he once again outstretches his hand to try and touch her. She again prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this time the pain was intense, even more intense. It doubled. He was in much more pain. And then he cries out again, "Please, look, I'm not going to touch you. I'm not going to harm you. Just release me from this. Pray to your God and release me from this." She prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this man was released. But did he learn his lesson? No. He tries to outstretch his hand again. This is, he was such a, you know, corrupt individual and such a pervert individual. He outstretches his hand again to touch her. And this time she prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pain was just unbearable. He couldn't bear it at all. He cries out, "I promise you, I will not harm you. If you release me, if you pray to your God and release me, I will gift you something and send you on your way. I will gift you something and send you on your way. Just release me from this grip of yours." So she prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the king's hand goes back to normal. The king cries out. He calls out his soldiers, his forces, and he tells them, "You have brought a witch. You have brought a witch who has supernatural powers. Get her away from here." And he calls for the, because he had promised to give her a gift. He calls for a slave girl by the name Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam, and this king gives Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam to Sarra alayhi salatu wasalam and tells her, "You can please continue, no harm will befall you." Sarra alayhi salatu wasalam takes Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam with her and she goes to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and informs him about what happened. Some scholars mention that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was already informed by Allah Azza wa Jal in regard to whatever happened within the confines, within the walls of that palace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave his friend in the dark. Instead, he informed him about exactly what took place inside the palace. So that incident ends there and they continue. So like I said, some historians mentioned that this happened on the way to Palestine. Some say it was after they had settled down in Palestine. So they go now and settle down in Palestine. If we go with the first version, they go and settle down in Palestine. So a long period of time passes. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was now becoming old and frail. And he had not been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a child. He had not been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a child. So his wife, Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam, she herself one day suggested to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, "Ya Ibrahim, why don't you marry Hajar? And you know, through that marriage, perhaps she may conceive a child for you by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam thought about it and he agreed to marry Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam. He marries her and by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she gives birth to a baby boy. Allahu Akbar. She gives birth to a baby boy. And this baby boy was named as Ismail. This baby boy was named as Ismail, the first child of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, just imagine the happiness of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. His firstborn, a baby boy, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. The coolness to his eyes, Allahu Akbar. Now, after Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam gave birth, now there was a lot of attention on Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam, or rather given to Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam. There was a lot of attention given to Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam felt left out. And suddenly she became very possessive of her husband. Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam, she became very possessive of her husband. And she tells her husband to take Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam to another land. She said, "You take them and keep them with you in another land. Don't keep them here." Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was contemplating in this regard, was thinking about it, and then the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to take Hajar, his wife Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam, and his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam to a land, a faraway land, which is to be known as Mecca, insha'Allah ta'ala, as we will discuss the story. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he abides by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He takes Hajar and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and he leaves the land that he was in. In other words, they were in Palestine. He leaves Palestine and now heads towards Mecca. Now Mecca at that time was a barren land. It was a barren desert. There was not a human being in sight, no water, no trees, nothing. Just a dry, barren land. But the command of Allah was to go and leave your wife and your son there. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he takes them, he goes there, and he leaves them there, and he starts to head back. Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam, being a mother who had just given birth to a young baby, panic gripped her, and she runs behind Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and she asks him, "Ya Ibrahim, why are you leaving us and going? Why are you leaving us and going?" Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he kept quiet and he kept moving. She kept on repeating the question, "Ya Ibrahim, tell me, why are you leaving us here and going? There's not a human being inside, not a tree inside, no water, we will die, we will starve. Why are you leaving us and going?" Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did not reply, because you must understand the plight of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He's leaving his wife and his firstborn, the coolness of his eyes, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, in the middle of a desert, and he's going. Just try to imagine the grief and the turmoil of emotions that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam must have been going through. He was feeling so sad, but he had to abide by the command of Allah. Finally, Hajar asks Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, "Ya Ibrahim, tell me, is this a command of Allah? Are you leaving us because Allah commanded you?" To which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam replied, "Yes, it is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." No sooner he informed her that it was a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she, you know, her heart was at peace. Because she knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would look after her and would look after her son. So she goes back to Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he leaves to Palestine. Now my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, just try to understand the level of tawakkul amidst these individuals. Just amazing, the levels of tawakkul. You look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, there are so many examples of tawakkul, of complete reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I said yesterday, these stories are not to keep us entertained, but rather for us to derive lessons from. There are so many lessons to be derived from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now look at Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam. In the middle of a desert, a barren, bare desert, but the minute she asks her husband, "Allahu amaraka bihada," did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you in this regard? He replies, "Yes," her heart is at peace. Because why? She had complete reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the best disposer of my affairs. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah has my best interests by Him and He will look after me. She had this complete trust. She goes back to Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was leaving them, he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a heavy heart. He prays to Allah azza wa jal, "Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'a عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون." He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a heavy heart. "Oh Allah, I have made my offspring, my family, to dwell biwadin ghayri dhi zar'. I have made them to dwell, I have left them in a barren valley, in a valley that has no cultivation whatsoever, a barren valley عند بيتك المحرم, by your sacred house, because that was the point, that was the spot where the Kaaba was to be built. ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة, O Allah, let them perform الصلاة. فجعل أفئدة من الناس, and let the hearts of mankind, فجعل أفئدة من الناس, let the hearts of the people incline towards them, let people be kind towards them. تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون, and O Allah, provide them with fruits so that they may give thanks unto you, so that they may render gratitude. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, scholars rahimahumullah mentioned that this dua goes on until today and until the day of Qiyamah, and that is why you see the lands of Makkah and Medina being blessed so much. Allahu Akbar. Because after all, he said, Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyati. Look at the words, my offspring. It was just not Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Generation after generation, and as you all are well aware, I'm sure, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his lineage traces back to Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was the great grandfather of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Arabs who live in Makkah today are blessed so much, the lands are blessed so much, because of the sacrifice and the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. وَارْزُقُهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ, provide them with ample provisions. Today you can see, you know, they're blessed so much by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the dua of this great prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he leaves his wife Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam and he goes. Now there was some food and water that they had with them. This little food and water ran out. The little food and water that they had with them, with Hajar, in the sense that she had with her, she and her child, the little food and water that they had ran out, and now the little child, young Ismail, he starts to cry out of hunger. He starts to weep and cry out of hunger. Now, Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for them. Like I said earlier, she had mastered the concept of tawakkul. But her motherly instincts started to kick in. You know, she was a mother at the end of the day, and she was worried for her child, and she starts to panic. Because she couldn't see a single human being inside, not a single bird. You know, if there were birds, at least that would indicate that there's some water. No water, no life whatsoever. So she starts to panic, and she climbs up a hill known as Safa. She climbs up a hill known as As-Safa. From that hill she looks whether there's anybody to be seen. She cries out, please help us, please help us. She climbs up the hill As-Safa and then runs back and climbs up another hill known as Al-Marwa. As-Safa and Marwa. Safa, Marwa. She kept running back and forth crying for help. She runs seven times, ending on Marwa. Unlike today, don't think of the hills, you know, today when you go, mashallah, you've got the nice air conditioning going on, you've got the cool floors, you've got enough and more zamzam to quench your thirst to run. You have to put yourselves in the shoes of Hajar, alayhi salatu wasalam. Hot, burning sand, barren desert. We run to commemorate and to remember our mother, Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam. But she was running out of panic. Her child is crying in the middle of a desert, no shade, no nothing whatsoever, and she's panicking and she's running back and forth. Okay? She runs seven times up and down these two crude hills at that time, As-Safa and Al-Marwa, and the seventh time she ends on Marwa, and then she hears someone by her child. She just feels the presence of someone by her child. And she looks towards Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and she sees a shadow of an individual, you know, the silhouette of an individual. So she runs to the child, wondering who is by my child, and she finds Jibreel alayhi salam has come. Jibreel alayhi salam has arrived by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certain scholars state that he struck the ground with the tip of his wing. Certain other scholars state that he struck the ground with his foot. No sooner he struck the ground, water starts to gush out. A spring broke out and water started to gush from the crack in the ground. And this water was such a blessed type of water. This is the water to be known as Zamzam. And this is the water that we consume when we go to Makkah, when we go to the lands of Makkah today. This water, this blessed water started to flow. Hajar alayha salatu wasalam, she quenches her thirst, and she quenches the thirst of her son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. This was a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This water, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, ma'u zamzam lima shuribala. The water of zamzam is for what you drink it for. So scholars rahimahumullah highlight that if you have any need, if you have any dua that you want to make, drink the water of Zamzam and intend that insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal will answer your dua. Especially those who are suffering due to sicknesses, psychological problems, marital issues, marital problems between two spouses, scholars state, let the two spouses drink Zamzam water and let them intend that the problems be resolved amongst themselves. Because ma'u Zamzam lima shuribala, the water of Zamzam is for what it is drunk. If you drink the water of Zamzam with a specific intention, with firm conviction, with deep belief grounded in your heart, insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal will answer your dua. So the two spouses who are having marital problems, let the two spouses drink Zamzam water and let them intend, let these problems be solved. Let our hearts be filled with love for one another. At times people go around searching for what? Love potions. Magical love potions. They go around asking all these voodoo doctors, can I have a love potion? I want my husband to fall in love with me. I want my wife to fall in love with me. We're having problems. And the voodoo doctor, he makes a nice, concoction out of, what not. But look, we have a powerful liquid, Zamzam. Drink it as much as possible. Drink it as much as possible and intend that which you wish. Insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your du'as. Now, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, trees started to grow, because naturally when water sprouts from somewhere, it becomes like an oasis in the middle of a desert. And now trees started to grow, date palms started to grow, birds started to fly overhead. Now at that point, there was a caravan that was crossing, and they too were hunting for water. And during those days, whenever you spot a circle of birds, then you can come to a conclusion that there has to be water or trees or something like that. So they saw some birds overhead, in the sense close to that area, and they make their way towards the water. The minute they reach Ma'u Zamzam, the spring, they see an amazing sight, a lady with a young child. So they thought that, okay, this belongs to her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this in their hearts. Why? The dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, let the hearts of people be inclined towards my family. Let the hearts of people be inclined towards my family. So they go up to her, they go up to Ismail, the mother of Ismail, Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam, and they ask her permission. Can we, refresh ourselves? Can we quench our thirst? Can we water our animals, please? To which she grants them permission. They water their animals and they realize that this is a really nice, blessed place. And they settle down there. They were an Arab tribe. They were an Arab tribe by the name Jurhum, if I'm not mistaken. They settled down there, and that's when civilization begins in Makkah. And this is the story of Makkah. This is how Makkah began, the lands of Makkah. So the area began to develop day by day, and that was the beginning of the blessed lands of Makkah. Now Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, he starts to grow. Now that becomes a little village there. People come there, and now they have, trade happens there. Everything is happening like normal. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam starts to grow. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to visit them often. He used to be in Palestine, and he used to come to Makkah to visit Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam and his beloved son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Ismail, he grows, and now he becomes a young adolescent. He starts to help his father. He is running around. He's helping his father. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, when his son was old enough to walk with him. In the sense, he used to walk with him, he used to help his father. Now this is the time when, a father really treasures his son, because every father at the end of the day wishes that his son must look after him. For example, if the father has a business, he wishes that the son should take up after him and take the business and run the business, look after him, look after his family. This is every father's wish. You see, we are created with this natural element of jealousy, which is not good. We have to contain it. We have to contain it, but we are human beings and we are created with this natural element of jealousy, where at times we look at others and we feel these feelings of jealousy. But have you ever seen a father ever jealous of his son? Every father on the face of this earth wishes what for his son? That his son should become better than him. Should become better than him. If he does not wish so, he is not a father. He is not a father. Every father wishes the best for his child, for his son. So likewise, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam wished the very best for his son. And this was the time he was treasuring his son, when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down. It was an immense test. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it in the noble Quran.
فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى.
Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he sees a dream. He sees a dream. And the dreams of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are true. They are revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike our dreams, we see all kinds of things. But the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, their dreams are revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does he see? He sees that he is sacrificing, he's slaughtering his son, Allahu Akbar, his beloved son. So he goes to his son now, and he tells him, Ya Bunay, my dear son, my beloved son, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ. I saw a dream in which I was slaughtering you, I was sacrificing you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you think of this dream? Now look at the reply. Look at the mature reply of this boy, Allahu Akbar. He did not say, Dad, are you crazy? You're trying to slaughter me. I mean, this is what we would say today, the youngsters of today. They would look at it, oh, something wrong with you. Shall I report you to the authorities? You're abusing me. But look at the reply of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. What does he say?
قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ.
Oh my dear father, افعل ما تؤمر. Do that which you have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he was an intelligent boy. He knew that the dreams of his father were not just mere dreams. They were revelation from Allah. It was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He calmly replies, Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. Do what you have been commanded. And he did not stop there. What else did he say?
ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين.
He did not say, oh, you know, he did not start to grumble, he did not complain, and he said, what to do, we are prophets, so we have to go ahead with this, so go and sacrifice me. No, he said, go ahead, dear father, ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. By Allah, you will find me from those who are patient. Allahu Akbar. He reassures his father. He tells his father, go ahead, don't worry about me. You will find me a patient person. Go ahead. Allahu Akbar. Look at the beautiful reply. So what happens now? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he has to comply. He has to abide by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He takes his beloved son. You know, the story is easy to relate unto you. But you have to put yourself in the shoes of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Just imagine if you were commanded to slaughter your son, your firstborn, your eldest son, how would you feel? How would you feel? If, so, you know, as we go on with the story, you'll understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the day, what was made to be sacrificed was a ram, was a sheep from Jannah. But just say, hypothetically, if it was part of the Sharia, and if Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had to really sacrifice his son, now what do we do when the season of Hajj comes? We slaughter animals. But if Allah had decreed that he slaughter his son, what would we have to do? Every Hajj we would have to slaughter our firstborn. And just imagine how much of, you know, grief we would be in. And how difficult that would be for us. Just put yourself in the shoes of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But he did not bat an eyelid. Remember, it was not like he was blessed with a son at a very young age. At a very old and frail age, he was blessed with a young boy, a son. And now he's been commanded by Allah, slaughter him, sacrifice him. And he did not hesitate. He did not say, Ya Allah, why, Ya Allah, my little son, let me spend a little more time with him. He did not complain. Do you see any ayats mentioning? Look at the reply of the son. Go ahead, dad. Go ahead, father. You will find me from those who are patient. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he takes his son sadly. And he goes now to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He takes a knife, just like we take a knife when we are about to slaughter the animal during the season of Hajj. He sharpens the knife, just like we sharpen the knife. He sharpens the knife, and then he goes by his son. And you know what Ismail says now? Father, lay me on the ground facing downwards. Lay me on the ground facing downwards. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he asks his son, Ya Ismail, why are you telling me to do this? Then Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, no father, if you lay me with my face facing upwards, you will have to look at my face when slaughtering me, and that might result in your fatherly emotions gripping you, and you will find it difficult. It will be very emotional. You will find it difficult to go ahead with the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So lay me facing downwards, so that fatherly mercy will not overtake you, and so that you will be able to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the beauty of this incident, Allahu Akbar. Look at the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where on earth are we in comparison? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us to slaughter our sons? We are commanded to do what? Pray 5 times a day. Give out your zakah. Fast the month of Ramadan. Simple commandments in comparison to these great commandments of Allahu Akbar. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he lays his father down, and he lays Ismail down, and he takes the knife and places it on the neck of his son. And he tries to cut. He tries to cut, the knife does not cut. He tries to cut, again the knife does not cut. Just imagine, the knife is on the neck. The knife is on the neck. And he is moving it back and forth, the knife is not cutting. Ismail, alayhi salatu wasalam, he cannot see what's happening, because he's looking downwards. He says, father, go on, cut it harder. Look, he's trying, but the knife is not cutting. The knife is not cutting. And that's when Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, he hears a voice. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Oh Ibrahim, he looks, who's calling me? قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. You have fulfilled the dream. You have fulfilled your vision. إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And verily, we reward the muhsinoon. We reward the ones who do good. So he had fulfilled the dream. In other words, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. When they abided by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both of them passed this test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with flying colors. Allahu Akbar, flying colors. They passed the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal, he sends down a ram, a male sheep from the heavens. Scholars rahimahumullah mentioned that this sheep was grazing in the meadows of Jannah, in the gardens of paradise. And this sheep was sent down to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was commanded to sacrifice the sheep, the ram, in place of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, to which he did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينَ. I'm not saying that it was a great test. No scholar said that it was a great test. Allah Azza wa Jal, he states, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينَ. Verily, it was a manifest, it was a great trial. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who put Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam through the test, he is affirming, indeed, it was a great test upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rewards Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam so much to the extent, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, until today and until the day of Qiyamah, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they commemorate Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We commemorate this test of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam by doing what? Every season of Hajj, we sacrifice animals to commemorate the sacrifice of our father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now a few days passed by. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was with his wife Sarah where? In Palestine now. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in general was an individual known for his hospitality and generosity. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was known for his hospitality and generosity. So one day he receives some guests. Some guests come home. And in general, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam used to be such a generous person that he used to feed people a lot. He had the habit that he could never eat alone. He could never eat alone. He had to invite someone over and he had to eat with someone. This was his habit. He was such a generous individual. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these guests.
هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ
Has the story been told to you? Has the story reached you of the honored guests? There were noble guests who visited Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now who were these noble guests? They were Jibreel, Mikael, and Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam. Three special angels, the most special angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel, Mikael, and Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam. They were the three guests who came to visit Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the guise of human beings. They did not come in the form of angels, they came in the guise of human beings.
إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامٌ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ
When they came to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they said, Salam, Salamun alayk, peace be upon you. Then he replies, قَالَ سَلَامٌ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ He said, peace be unto you as well. You are strangers, I don't know you. Who are you all? He asked them, who are you all? And after welcoming them and after all the pleasantries had been exchanged, فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ He turned to his household, in other words his family, and he brought out عِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ A roasted calf. A roasted calf. Calf is the little one of a cow. A roasted cow. A roasted calf. He brings it and serves it to these guests. And as you all know, the angels, do they eat? They don't eat. Angels don't eat. They don't eat, they don't drink. Their provision, their sustenance is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he put forward the food, they did not even touch a tiny piece. Now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was feeling very strange. Just imagine if someone comes to your house and you're being very generous to them and you lay out a banquet and if that individual does not touch anything from your table, you will feel, why are you not eating? I mean, is there some problem between us, right? So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in those days especially, when travelers used to come from afar, they used to be ravenous, they used to be very hungry. And when you lay food, they would polish the dish. Because they used to come from afar, they would be very hungry. And he lays out a roasted calf, a tasty meal, and they're not touching the food. So he asks them, قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ Why aren't you not eating? Will you not eat from the food that I have put forward? To which they then went on to inform Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam because they saw the fear in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's eyes. They said, Ya Ibrahim, we're not just any ordinary guests. We are angels who have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are angels who have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they go on to say that, O Ibrahim, we bring glad tidings. We bring glad tidings unto you that you and your wife Sarah, alayhi salatu wasalam, are going to be blessed with a child, with a baby boy. Now, Sarah, alayhi salatu wasalam, this was, you know, this took her, you know, this gave her a huge shock. Because she was so old, and so was Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. So she says, you know, she kind of like, you know, she couldn't believe it. So she says, we are going to get a child at this old age. To which the angels reply, it is by the will of Allah and Allah can do whatever He wills. And then they go on to state that they had come for a completely different purpose, but they were also commanded to go and give glad tidings. Now what was the purpose that they had come down for? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked them, قَالَ فَمَا خَطُبُكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ What purpose then have you come for, O messengers? They reply, قَالُوا إِنَّا أُرْسِلْنَا إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ مُجْرِمِينَ They said, we have been sent by Allah to a people who are mujrimun, who are criminals, who are sinners, who are transgressors. لِنُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِنْ تِينَ to send down, to rain upon them stones of baked clay. This was a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had come down to render the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to destroy that nation. Now which nation was this? This was the nation of the Prophet Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. This was the nation of the Prophet Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. His story we will discuss in a day or two inshallah ta'ala. Perhaps tomorrow if we conclude the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Nevertheless, the angels had come down for that purpose. But along the way, they were instructed to give glad tidings unto Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now days pass. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with a son, just as he was informed. And this boy's name was Ishaq. And now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam leaves Ishaq and Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam in Palestine. And he heads to visit Hajar and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam in Mecca. He had now divided his time where he used to spend time in Palestine as well as in Mecca. He used to spend equal time with both his wives, both his families. So now when he goes to visit Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam in Mecca, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him and informs him of something. Now this is the next command. The command was, O Ibrahim, build a house of Allah for his worship. Build a house of Allah for his worship. And this house was to be known as the Kaaba. This house was to be known as the Kaaba. This was the first house of Allah. The first Bayt min Buyutillah to be built. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Noble Quran. Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nasi lalladhi bi-Bakkata mubarakan wa hudan lil-alamin. Verily the first house of worship appointed for mankind was that at Bakka. Now Bakka was the previous name for Mecca. Bakka later on became Mecca. The first house to be placed for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was at Bakka. Mubarakan wa hudan lil alameen. It was full of blessing and guidance for alameen, the mankind and the jinn kind. So now what happens? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam informs his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam about the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They both get together and they start constructing this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal mentions, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And remember when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his son Ismail were raising the foundations of the house, the Kaaba at Mecca, they kept saying, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. O our Lord, accept this from us, accept this from us. Verily you are the all-hearer, the all-knower. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, look. They have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to build a house of Allah. And they are building the house, and throughout the construction they keep praying to Allah, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Another beautiful lesson to be derived from this particular juncture is that whatever you do, you can be involved in a huge project, a small project, you can be, you know, involved in da'wah organizations, charity organizations, you can be involved in the masajid of Allah, you can be involved in any good deed, but remember, you must strive for ikhlas, that you do it solely for the pleasure of Allah, and you must also always pray to Allah, Ya Allah, accept this from us, accept this from us. We can be involved in so many projects. Look, the Anbiya, the two great prophets, they themselves are praying to Allah, Ya Allah, accept this from us, accept this from us. And what about you and I? You know, our projects fade away in comparison to this great project. They were building the first masjid, the first house of Allah. And they kept praying, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. So likewise, you and I, whatever we do, good deeds, we do it solely for the pleasure of Allah. And we keep praying to Allah, Ya Allah, accept it from us, accept it from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the good deeds that we render unto Him. Ameen. So they go on building until the last stone had to be placed. The last stone. Now, and you have to understand that the Kaaba was not as grand as how it is today. You didn't have the clock tower and you didn't have all of that. It was a crude building at that time, made of blocks of stone. It was a very simple house of Allah at that time. So they just placed stones and they built the house. But there was one last stone that had to be placed. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam instructs his son Ismail to get that final stone. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam now goes around searching for that final stone, because the final stone had to be in a specific shape to fit that place. So he kept looking around for the stone, and he drifted a little further away from his father and the construction. That's when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down, and he asks Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, "What are you looking for?" Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam says, "I'm looking for the final stone to complete the construction of the house of Allah." Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then gives him a stone, and he tells him, "This stone is from Jannah, is from paradise. Go and complete the construction with it." Scholars rahimahumullah mention that there are two opinions. One is that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam could have brought the stone at that point, or like I mentioned in the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, there is one opinion of the scholars that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came down from Jannah, he was sent with a stone, and this stone was lost, and at that point it was recovered, and it was pure white in color. It was milky white, pure white in color. And it was placed in the building, and that is the stone known as Hajarul Aswad today. What is Hajarul Aswad? The black stone. So how come it was pure white? Scholars rahimahumullah mentioned it was pure white, and it turned black due to the sins of people. Due to the sins of people, it turned black. It was pure white in color at that time. So the construction of the house of Allah was now complete. Allah Azza wa Jal commands Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to proclaim and call out, to announce. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he asks Allah, "Ya Allah, what am I to proclaim? What am I to call out?" Allah Azza wa Jal then informs him, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِهِنَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقًا. O Ibrahim, proclaim to the entire mankind about Hajj, about the pilgrimage of Allah. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا, they will come to you on foot. They will come to you, they will come walking. وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ, and they will come on every lean camel and horse. يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ, and they will come from every deep and distant valley, distant mountain. They'll come from all over the place for Hajj. Now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was amazed. He asked Allah, "Ya Allah, how am I to get the message across to the entire mankind whilst I am here in Makkah today?" You know, if you put up a Facebook status, at least you have the confidence that it can reach people all around the world, depending on the amount of followers that you have. Or perhaps if you put it up on a platform where it will reach out to many people around the world. At that time, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was wondering, "Ya Allah, how will the message go to the entire mankind?" Now who gave man the intellect to come up with all these online platforms, the World Wide Web? Who gave man the intellect? Did man come up with all of this by himself? It was Allah who gave man the intellect to come up with all these satellites, the internet, the World Wide Web, all these social media platforms. It was Allah who gave man the brain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, "Ya Ibrahim, your duty is to do it, and we will look after the conveying part. We will make the message reach every human being." So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he climbs a little hill, a little mountain, and he proclaims, "Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, come to the house of Allah on Hajj, in pilgrimage. Come and visit the house of Allah in pilgrimage." My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, with this I will conclude inshaAllah ta'ala. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took on the responsibility of conveying the message so much to the extent that at the point Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam announced it, at that point, every single human being, every single creation, the heavens and the earth, heard the proclamation of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, heard the announcement of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And not only that, every single child in the womb of its mother heard this announcement of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Every drop of fluid that man is created from heard the announcement of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And it does not end there. It goes on until the day of Qiyamah, and this dua was answered as well. And this is why people from all over the world today, whenever you tune into the Makkah Live channel, what do you see? I'm sure most of you have access to it in your country. What do you see? People making tawaf of the Kaaba. Are they all from one locality? Are they all Arabs? No. You have Malaysians, Indonesians, Maldivians, Sri Lankans, Indians, Americans. You have people from all over the world. يَأْتُونَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ. They will come from far and near. They will come from everywhere. يَأْتُونَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ. They will come on foot. They will come using different modes of conveyance. And they will come from all over. Your job is to proclaim, and we will see that the message is conveyed. Allahu Akbar. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma goes on to state that until the day of Qiyamah, this will be the case. Look at Makkah. They keep expanding, and they keep on expanding for what purpose? To cater more and more, because the crowds are so huge in number. So many people visiting every single year, 365 days around the year. Allahu Akbar. The city that never sleeps. That is the city that never sleeps. Makkah. So many people coming from all over the world, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua, accepted the sacrifice of this great Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah Azza wa Jal's decree was that the call of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam would reverberate throughout the annals of time, and the people would come from far and near to respond to the call. They all head to Mecca saying what? لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. They cry out, "Oh Allah, we are present. We hear your call. Labbaik." We respond, and they head towards Mecca. Allahu Akbar. This was the call. This was the announcement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam to make. And he did so, obeying Allah azza wa jal. With that, we conclude today's session. Insha'Allah ta'ala, tomorrow we have a few more incidents to talk about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And then quickly we'll move on to a little about Ishaq alayhi salatu wa salam. And then we'll go on with the series, insha'Allah ta'ala. I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.